You brought up Purdy. This is a good test. I know it's the first game of the season, but it's a good test game for him, yeah, for me. Last year, everybody was worried about Purdy because coming off of the elbow surgery, how's he going to start? What's he going to look like early? And he's just a young quarterback. You don't know how he was going to bounce back. And he came out. He was phenomenal. In that first week, the game in week one, as soon as the lights came on, the Niners just dominated, right? They just kicked the shit out of Pittsburgh. And that was a game last year I was a little bit worried about. I said, you're going into Pittsburgh. You have this young quarterback who's a little bit banged up, or I should say recovering anyway,
right,
from an injury. What's it going to look like? Is he going to be rusty? Is he going to have his fastball? I thought it would maybe be a low scoring game, and the Niners blew the doors off them. And I saw a stat today from NFL Communications. So Brock Purdy needs a passer rating of 110 or more in one of his first four starts this season to join Mahomes as the only QBs in NFL history to have the rating of 110 plus in at least 15 of their first 25 career starts. Purdy's had a rating of 110 or higher in 14 of 21 starts. That is unbelievable.
Incredible. It's incredible.
And again, look at historically what I just said. Him and Mahomes. That's it. Purdy has been, I mean, it's just amazing what he's done statistically. In this game, this is definitely one of the best defenses he's played against. I mean, the Jets defense is for real. It's got to be one of the top D's that he's played. So coming into this game with Trent Williams could be rusty, with Brandon Ayuk who could be rusty, I think they're going to get some pressure on him, especially up the middle. I'm really interested to see how he can do in this game, which will probably be one of the tougher games I think that he plays all year in terms of against a good defense. So,
yeah,
this is a big game for him. Even in week one, I'm not going to go crazy if he has a bad game. Again, week one against a really good defense, but I want to see if he comes out and plays really well. And he has another big statistical game, and the Niners win this game, even going away. I think that's a huge statement for him, a huge statement.
Yeah, I mean, and we've seen, we have seen Brock Purdy struggle against elite defenses, and the Jets have an elite defense. It is a top 10 defense. It's probably a top 5 defense. Now, again,
yeah,
we don't know what they're going to look like this year. There have been some changes on the defense, all of that, obviously. Defensive regression is always a possibility. It's difficult to field an elite defense year over year over year, which is why, we talked about this team moving from a defensive, essentially kind of a like the defense leading the team to Kyle Shanahan and Brock Purdy and the offense, leading, and then still trying to field competitive defenses, if not top 10 defenses. Again, I think they have the talent on that side of the ball to still be a top 10 defense, and we'll see by the end of the season. But if you look at the 49ers schedule in terms of like defenses that everybody anticipates being good, right? Like the defenses that most people anticipate being a top 10 defense. It's really the Jets in week one. The Chiefs in week seven, don't know what to expect out of the Seahawks with Mike McDonald, just because that defense is difficult to learn in the first year. You look at his first year in Baltimore, that defense wasn't nearly as good as it was the second year. And then on top of that, he doesn't have, guys like Kyle Hamilton or, Roquan Smith or, Justin Matabike, right? All those talented defensive players in Baltimore, none of them went with him. So, there's really not another defense on the schedule that you can look at and be like, yeah, that's going to be a tough test. The Cowboys with Mike Zimmer, they'll be good. But outside of that, I mean, the Bills in week 13, but again, we don't really know what that defense is going to be.
And no Matt Milano, Niners are going to use those linebackers.
I just don't see another defense on the schedule as it's currently constituted where I go, that's going to be a test. It's going to be a test for the 49ers offense. So to get it out of the way in week one, hey, if he doesn't do well, it's like you just build upon that. But I am excited to see him go against a team that is going to challenge him. And so I do have a question for you, because I just love fun little things like this. But who do you think is going to be the first 49er to score a touchdown against the Jets, obviously, but the first touchdown in 2024.
Oh, wow, man. That's putting me on the spot. It's Monday night. Mm-hmm. And this player tends to show up in primetime. I'm going to say George Kittle.
I think that's a good one. I'm going to throw one out there just because I think it's more fun, and I would be so pumped for him. I'm going to say Juwan Jennings.
I love that you said that.
Yeah.
Because here's what I was going to say next before you asked me that question.
Yeah.
We know Debo. We know Kittle. We know Ayuk. We know McCaffrey. But Juwan Jennings led the team in receptions in the postseason. So was that just a product of a few games, or is he going to be a bigger part of the offense? And that was the next thing I was going to say. It's really funny you said that. Is he going to be someone who goes from a catch here or there to someone who gets three or four catches a game and becomes a bigger part of the offense because of what he did in the postseason? That's one thing to really look at for me.
Yeah, because I think this team is going to throw more than we have seen since Kyle Shanahan has been here. I'm not saying that he is going to completely abandon the run. Obviously, you're not when you have the best running back in the NFL and you're paying him top dollar. You're not going to abandon the run. But if my hope, and I talked about this with Steph and with Jay, is that one of the things that Kyle Shanahan learned, right, in his second Super Bowl loss is we've got to have a better and more varied drop back passing game we're going to win in the playoffs, because if teams are going to key on stopping the run and then, you know, just play press man coverage and just dare us to beat them, we need to be able to do that. And I think we look at history with Kyle Shanahan, and this is his second season in Atlanta, right, where Matt Ryan had the most historically efficient offensive season in I don't know if it's in history, but one of the, I think, top five most efficient. That offense was historically good. And what was it? It was the second year with a quarterback that Kyle Shanahan trusted. Well, he had an entire year last year with Brock Purdy. Didn't really go into the season knowing he could trust him simply because he'd only had him in eight games and he was coming off an injury. But now you've got a full season where, you know, he was in the thick of the MVP race until that Ravens game. Kyle Shanahan trusts this guy, and I think he's going to put more on his shoulders and more on his plate, which means, again, you're going to see more of a varied passing attack. And so I think Brandon Ayuk's going to have a huge season. I think Debo Samuel's going to have a huge season. I think George Kittle and Juwan Jennings are both going to have pretty statistically significant seasons. And then you've got the rookies that you can throw in there eventually. Obviously, Ricky Pearsall out for the first four weeks of the season. But he was at practice today. He was at practice. He was on the field. Yeah, just wild. Just incredible. Just the sheer, I don't want to call it luck, but that really was what it was, when it came to this injury. But Jacob Cowing, I think, is a guy that Kyle Shanahan is already anticipating having fun with. You know what I mean? Like a new toy. So, I am excited to see Brock Purdy in this game because, again, this is one of the better pass defenses that he's going to see this season. And, like, I would love to see him just dice him up. And if he does, man, my excitement for the season is just going to go to the moon.
Oh, yeah. If he comes out with a big game in week one, like I said, it's a statement. And maybe the answer to McCaffrey being a little bit banged up isn't Jordan Mason. Maybe the answer is we're going to throw more.
Yeah.
We're going to let Brock sling it 35 times or whatever it is. We're going to get Juwan Jennings involved. We're going to get our targets to Debo, Ayuk, and Samuel. Because a lot of these games in Kittle, because a lot of these games, like you have your Kittle game, you have your Debo game, you have your Ayuk game. Maybe if they're throwing more this year, you're going to see a Kittle and Ayuk game, a Debo and Kittle game, or whatever it is.
It's rarely two guys. It's almost always just one guy. So
Maybe now we'll get two a little bit involved.
Yeah, that'd be great.
It's exciting. I mean, again, you said before we came on and we had talked in the offseason a lot. We felt like there was a lot of sort of Niner fatigue just because of the Super Bowl loss took so much out of people. And we found it in doing content. There was just sort of less interaction, less listens, less views than we had seen before. It just seemed like there was a dip. And I remember I said to you at one point, I was like, dude, it's like, it seems like people are interested. And you're like, well, I think people have fatigue. And I said, holy shit, you're right. Yeah. I just think that took a lot out of the fan base, and rightfully so. It's been a lot this few years, but it seems to be really renewed now. It was a tough off season. It was a tough preseason, but in the past couple weeks, man, it seems like a revival again. Like everything is just, the interest is just so much more. And that's awesome to see.